Hi, and welcome to another episode of Confessions of a Founder. I'm your host, Alicia M. Campbell, and as always, I'm so excited to be here and to be talking with y'all around culture shift HR and building a business and giving insight and guidance and support to all of you who are looking to start your own business, or maybe you've been at it for a little bit and you feel stuck, and maybe some of these insights will help you get unstuck. So welcome to another episode. It's so funny. I was reflecting on this episode and kind of preparing myself for, you know, the topic and all the things we're going to be, you know, diving into today. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this season's going by so fast. When I started Confessions of a Founder, my thought process was to do like a 10 episode season. And, you know, that's something that I can commit to, that's solid, and that I, you know, I can really get behind, have the resources to support and all those things. And I'm like, we're already at episode 7. I'm like, this is just so crazy. So thank you again, everybody, for following, sharing, commenting, liking, subscribing to the channel, you know, letting this be a part of your regular scheduled programming in life and, you know, coming along for the journey. So what are we talking about today? Today is actually all about networking. Networking, networking, networking. And as my good friend Jessica Sinclair would say, your network is your net worth. So what do I mean when I say network, right? And we hear this a lot in the business world, or really in any, whether you're in your career, whether you're starting a business, whether you're just even looking for an expanded social group, we always hear the word networking and the importance of networking, right? And when you hear networking, you think automatically, okay, I just need to meet people, talk to people, and that's the essence of networking. Sorry, but that's actually really just scratching the surface. When we really begin to actually talk about like networking and, you know, networking in a meaningful and intentional way, there's actually a lot of work that goes into networking. So it's more than just meeting people and saying, hey, my name is Alicia, what's your name? I do ABC, you do XYZ, let's work together. But it's actually taking a genuine interest in the people that you're meeting. And in order to maximize the opportunity of networking in whatever space that you're going to be in, you always have to be prepared. Now, if you're going for more of a social context, of course, the preparation may not necessarily need to be as deep, but if you're definitely networking for a business purpose or even from a sales perspective, being intentional with your time, especially at events and networking settings is so, so, so important. So what does that mean? What that means is that if you're going to an event, first of all, what is the event that you're going to? As you're networking, number one element to making sure you're maximizing your network and your networking efforts is research. So if you're going to spend, let's just say $500, I'm going to spend $500 on a ticket to go to an event. One, where is this event located? Is it located in a large metropolitan hub like New York, LA, Miami, Boston? Where are these events going to be? Because that's going to tell you a lot about number two, which is who is going to be in attendance. Now, in a lot of events, depending on what event you're going to, people will usually fly in from, you know, other cities to go to an event. That's pretty common. But what you want to be mindful of is that people who are also residences of that city are also going to probably be in attendance. So is that a city that is known for its ingenuity, its innovation, its, you know, business savvy? Are there organizations there, tech companies, you know, software companies, healthcare companies, whatever is your audience? Do they have a hub there? Do they have a reputation there, a name there, a brand there? Do they have an office location or a branch or some type of satellite office that you know that if I mention this name of another company within this industry, it's going to be known to other people in that industry? So these are things that you need to be mindful of when you're going to a networking event and to maximize those networking efforts. And you might think, oh my gosh, Alicia, this is so much work. This is so much effort. It is, but it's an investment, because if you network properly, you're actually going to walk away with a lot of opportunity. You're going to walk away with potentially prospects, partnerships, opportunities to, you know, maybe expand other services or to find parallel services that you could create partnerships or opportunities on. You know, there could be a slew of opportunities and advantages when you network properly. The third thing you want to be mindful of is you want to try to get, as best as possible, a heads up on who is going to be at the event. So, and that goes on both ends, from just people who are coming to, for general admission and those who are attendees, but also those who are speakers and who are going to be active in the event. You might be like, okay, well, why does the speakers matter? The speakers mean so much when you go to an event. The caliber of speakers that are going to be there tells you the budget that these that the event company put on for this, tells you the network of the people who have put on the event themselves, tells you the type of information you're going to be learning, you know, the type of extended reach that you're going to have access to because these speakers are there. There is so much that you can tell from an agenda or an outline or an advertisement of an event. So research who these speakers are going to be. If, you know, a speaker is, you know, going to be on a panel, it's someone that you've been following for a really long time, or someone that you have a really genuine interest in learning from and knowing, take some time to like understand 2 to 3 key points of who they are and their business. Because there might be an opportunity where you can say, hey, I've been following you for a really long time. I love how you talk about branding in your business. Do you mind if I pick your brain about some stuff? And they're going to be so impressed that you know already a little bit about them versus coming up and saying, hi, I'm Alicia. What's your name? And tell me what you do. So doing that research in advance, having that preparation ready, so, so, so important. And I mean, especially if it's a large event, you don't need to know all 500 people or 1,000 people. Like, that's just ludicrous, right? But there's going to be at least, I would say, 5 people that you want to know, that you want to talk to, try to get some time with, that is outside of the serendipitous way that you'll be meeting people as well, which is really important. Next is you have to prepare. So there's preparing for the event itself. Location, event parameters, you know, the speakers, doing your research on who's speaking, why they're speaking, the topic, you know, getting a sense of the audience that will be there. But the second part of this wonderful equation is you have to be prepared. When you go to this event, what impression do you want to leave on people? What are the 3 things that you want someone to remember soon after they are done speaking with you? So usually you want them to know, 1, your name, so who you are. But 2, or I would say a close one, is like your tagline. Like, I'm Alicia M. Campbell. I'm the founder and CEO of Culture Shifts HR, which is one of the fastest growing small to mid-sized D&I consultancies in North America. Bam. You know exactly what I do. You know my business. You know what my business specializes in. And there's a little bit of a flex of, like, you know, what we do in business, right? And you know that within the first 10 seconds of meeting me. So what is your tagline? Who are you? And how can you say that in a way that is concise but enticing for people to want to talk to you? 2, what is your elevator pitch? Your elevator pitch is everything. And your elevator pitch, it can go in 1 of 2 ways. 1, it could be talking about your business, so kind of expanding what we just spoke about in terms of like your business, your offering, what you do, and maybe what you need or what you're in search of. But the other flip could be, what is the impact that you're making, and how is this person or persons that you're speaking to going to be able to help support that impact? So for example, if I'm talking for my elevator pitch, I might be talking about how we are, you know, really starting to be a voice and continuing to be an influence within the DEI space, and helping business owners and community members realize the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and creating more forward, thoughtful, and human-like approaches to the employee experience. Can you tell me a little bit about how you're creating a human experience within your workplace culture? So it's something that I'm already kind of giving that person the setup of what I want to engage in a conversation with them on, but also I'm giving them a bit of insight on the why behind that, right? I'm giving them insight on the importance of this topic. So beyond just saying, this is who I am, this is what I do, and like, you know, do you want to buy it, or are you interested in learning more, or is there someone who you know who might know someone who might be interested? It's actually kind of taking that and spinning it on its head a bit and saying, hey, this is what we do and this is why it's important. Talk to me about how you do this in an important way. And by doing that, you're actually going to, 2 things are going to happen. 1, the person is going to be like, oh my gosh, this is too much. I need to walk away from this conversation. And that's okay, because you don't want to waste your time with people who can't really engage with you properly. Or, which is what we hope for, 2, And I'm saying, oh my gosh, that is really, really cool, or that's really important. I'd actually really like to learn more about how I can take more of a human approach to the workplace culture, or actually this is how we're being more thoughtful from a human perspective in workplace culture. ABC, have you done this method? Have you tried this process, et cetera? So you really begin to engage in a way that brings your audience in, that captivates them, piques their interest, and keeps them, you know, really focused on the conversation with you and really focused on, you know, your business and the importance of what you're trying to sell, or I wouldn't say sell, but promote and really kind of like talk about. So you have to prepare for that, right? People might come up and ask you questions. They might ask you questions about your business, your audience, what type of work you do. Maybe if they're really serious to say, what are the next steps? How can I follow up with you? So having number three with anything networking is having your marketing materials ready. Now we live in a very digital world. So many things now are on our phones. So you can get those QR code business cards where someone scans your phone, like your QR code on the phone, and it pops up this really pretty microsite with your photo, your name, your number, email address, website, all that cool stuff, right? So those are really good. But for some of us, we might be a little bit more pen and paper or a little bit more tangible and tactile with our marketing. So if you have business cards, awesome. If you have pamphlets or small little like mailer things that you can give someone in a handy way, do it. Whatever works for you that allows you to be comfortable and confident in promoting what you do and who you are, lean into it. What I would say is don't bring some 8.5 by 11 one sheet. I mean, unless you're a speaker or something and that's really key to your business, but having something that's compact, people are going to be walking around and networking and you don't want them to throw it away. So if it's something that's too much, they're probably going to check it and they may not mean to, but you know, their real estate with their hands might be limited. They could be carrying a drink. They could be having some food. If your thing is too big and they don't have a bag, it's probably going to go in the garbage. So if you do digital, one thing I always recommend is if you give your information, make sure you get theirs back, because so many things get lost on our phones. And I always make it very mindful intention to take a photo of who I'm connecting with or their badge or something that allows me to remember them, so that one, I can, you know, have that muscle memory of who they are and be confident when I speak with them in the future. But also number two, I can also follow up with them as well. So if they forget or a week goes by, 2 weeks go by and there's not that opportunity and they haven't reached out, I have their contact and I can reach out as well. If you're going to have a business card, have a damn good business card. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, obviously if you're on a budget and all you can afford is like those, you know, regular business cards, do you, you know, like at the end of the day, as long as you have some type of marketing material, that's fine. But if you can snazz it up a bit, I've like feeling really nice material, cardstock, velvet. You can get literally business cards that feel like velvet and like that just scream luxury and scream customer service, and just, you just want to, like, you see the appreciation and you see the detail and you see the intentionality that this business has put behind their business cards. So even if I take a business card and it's just, you know, I'll put it away, I'll put it in my pocket and I may not reach for it again. But if I have a business card and it's like that satin matte finish or velvet finish, maybe there's like a gold tinge to the lettering, or it's embossed, or, you know, a little bit more heavier in weight versus like your regular cardstock, or it's maybe a little bit raised with like the material, you can kind of like feel the pattern. I know I'm going into a lot of detail about business cards. But those are the things that people remember, because as soon as you give it to them, they're like, ooh, this is really nice. And I bet you that's not something they want to throw out. That's not something they just want to throw in the bottom of their bag and move on. They're going to remember that feeling. They're going to remember that experience. So these things seem really small and trivial, but I'm telling you, it actually is important. So if you can go a little bit higher on your business card budget, do it. If you can't, it is what it is. But have something that someone can leave the event with that screams you and your business. From there, the whole thing about networking is that being in the event is important. Being intentional, knowing your audience, your location, your demographic, you being ready, prepared with your elevator pitch or marketing material, who you are. But the follow-up after an event is even that much more important. That's like part two of the equation, because if you're, you can go to events all day long. You can go talk, schmooze, booze, connect with people, have a great old time. But you should be going there for one, for people to get to know you, but you also should be getting to know people for your business. And that is not always a customer. And that's what's really important, because I made that mistake. I went to marketing events being like, hi, I'm Alicia. I'm CEO of Culture Shift. Buy my product or buy my service. Hi, buy this. Hi, I do this. Hi, do you have a need for this? Hi. And it's like, one, it's exhausting. Two, people get annoyed pretty quickly. And three, remember, networking is all about being human. We are human beings at the end of the day. And so even if this person, one, never sell off of the first bat, because you just don't want to be that person who cold sells everybody that you meet for the very first time, get an opportunity to know them, know your customer, know your buyer. And I mean in an absolute genuine way, not even from a business perspective. What do you like to eat? What do you like to go travel? Your hobbies, where do you live? What city, you know, what movies are you watching? Books you're reading, shows you're binging. Like, just get to know people on a human level. And because that's what they're going to remember. Not only is that what they're going to remember, but that's what they're going to like about you. And this is, I didn't even think I was going to go on this tangent, but this is where the conversation's going. People like to do business with people who they like. If they don't like you, unless you offer a one in a million service, they will probably not do business with you. I don't care how good your prices is. I don't care that you have all the prettiest branding, all the best marketing, all the best whatever. If someone doesn't like you, there was a very small chance they're going to do business with you. The reason my clients come back to me, the reason my clients work with me over another consultant or another DEI firm or another fractional HR person is because they like me. They like my team, the experience we provide them, the support we give them, the clarity we help them in their own businesses with their own cultures. So I say that to say, the first thing with getting more sales in a marketing event, or sorry, a networking event, is getting them to like you. And for someone to like you, you have to build a connection. Now, I'm not saying go and be everybody's best friend. Absolutely not. Like not to that extent. I mean, hey, if that happens, wonderful. But that isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's people you're going to meet where you're like, I genuinely like you. Like you're a cool human being. I like what you do. You're fun to talk to. You're pretty cool. You know, I could see myself grabbing coffee with you. I could see myself referring you to other people in my network. I could see you, you know, hanging out on a Saturday afternoon. Those are the things that you want to be mindful of, because that person may not have a need today, but I bet you the moment they have a need in your niche, you are the first email. You are the first phone call, hands down. Because people want to do work with people that they like. Work is already hard enough. Let's just be real. Work is already stressful. It's hard. It could be annoying. It could be challenging. But when you can do work with people you like, with people you enjoy spending time with, even if it's in a work context, you're going to do that all day, every day. So long story short, get to know people. Get people to know you. Don't be asking people 10,000 questions. Talk about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What do you love? All of those things. Have an engaging conversation and get out of that business mindset of I just have to sell. Because if you go into these events with that mentality, I guarantee you will not bring home any sales. Bottom line, people might be like, oh yeah, let's talk Tuesday. They ain't calling you. They probably won't, because people don't want to be always sold to. People want to feel more than just a price tag, right? So just genuinely get to know people, make some new friends, make some new business colleagues, and just have a good time. They already know what you do. They already know that if I need to talk to you about consulting, I know who to go to. But who's the person behind the work? Who's the person I'm going to be spending long hours with, going back and forth with on ideas, on projects, on follow-ups? That's what's important. So if that makes you nervous going into a networking event, practice. Go to like smaller networking events. Go to speed networking events and talk to a lot of people at once. Just talk casually to friends and ask them if they would do business with you. Record yourself in the mirror, practice, write a script, and then like memorize it. Whatever it is that's going to get you comfortable in a more networking event, and then more in a networking environment, do it. Then follow up. So now the step of that is follow up. So you might be thinking, well, Alicia, if these people are just, you know, you're supposed to get to know them and they're supposed to get to know you, why am I following up? Because it takes a minimum of 7 touch points for a client to sign on the dotted line. Now, that's one fact. I've signed clients within 2 phone calls. But the thing is, though, it depends on how they come in as a lead, right? If we're strictly talking about a cold lead, which is someone from a networking event who you don't know, and you're talking to them, you're connecting with them, LinkedIn, email, social, whatever it might be, having 7 touch points for them to be, I would say, actively in your network is important. Because whether they have a need or not, if you don't have that kind of warm relationship with them, even if they have a need and they met you 3 months ago, they're going to probably remember this person who they recently just spoke to that meets their need versus you directly, who could even help them better than the person that they just met. So having follow-ups, and I don't mean in a business way, you can, but I would say have follow-ups in a way that are casual, but intentional. So what does that look like? Hey, Alicia, it was so great meeting you at that event last week. I had such a great time learning about you and your business and that new trip that you have coming up in a couple months. Definitely send me a postcard. I'm going to be in your city in the next few weeks. Are you free on April 9th to grab some coffee? I'd love to just hang out with you. That could work. So I talked to her about her business. I told her I remembered things about our conversation with her trip. I told her that, you know, I had a great time talking with her. I let her know I'm going to be in her city or in her area and that I want to hang out and just talk and just connect. That is all. Will a lead come out of that? Potentially. But the more you connect, the more people talk to you, the higher the potential of that lead is going to be. And you might be thinking, well, Alicia, that's a long time to get a piece of business. Yes. Yes, it is. Not every business lead is going to turn over in the moment unless this person is referred to you. You know, you have a high marketing engagement funnel that is in people's inbox, in their face, and they trust you and all of these things. But that someone just handing you money over in an event or the next day or in a follow-up, very, very slim. Again, unless you sell something that is 1 in a million, which is very possible, that is not usually the business cycle of business. So we have preparing for the event, researching, understanding your demographics, understanding location, understanding the business environment. 2, preparing yourself, knowing what your elevator pitch, what you do, who you are, being more social, being more human. What is your impact statement? 3, creating real, genuine human connections. How are you getting to know these people? How are you getting to know them from more than just their business, but who they are as a human being? What are their likes, dislikes? How are they social, not social, travel, whatever it is? What are those things that you want to know about them? And then 4, follow up, follow up, follow up. Now, if you don't want to be annoying with the follow up, I suggest once a month. And that is if they are in touch with you. So after the first event, I would follow up probably by the end of that week. Hey, great meeting you. I'm going to be in the city, or I'd love to stay in touch. Whatever it is that you're saying, right? If they get back to you and you both, you know, connect, grab coffee, that's now someone you can regularly reach out to. Probably text, email, you know, and I would say keep that going every 2 weeks. Hey, just checking in. Did you watch this? Oh my gosh, LOL, that was so funny. Whatever that might be, right? If the person isn't getting back to you and you need to follow up about a week later saying, hey, just making sure my email came in. Maybe it may have gone to spam. You know, again, would love to catch up. If they don't follow up again on the second, after the second email, send one more. And I would say give it about a two-week break. Then follow up the last time. Say, hey, hope you're doing well. I can't believe a month that's already gone by. Just touching base again. I know I'm no longer in your city or in your area, but I was thinking we could hop on a Zoom and just kind of chat around, you know, things that are going on in the industry that I would love to get your opinion on, as an example. You know, let's connect. If they at that time don't get back to you, or you've sent them a LinkedIn request and you still haven't heard back, give it a beat. I would say give it about another month and then re-engage again, because that person is either super busy or they don't have, maybe, you know, they weren't that engaged with you in the first place. Maybe they're traveling and it's just a really busy time, but no one wants to be bombarded with email after email after email after email. So I would say if after three attempts you don't hear back, take a beat, take it about minimum 4 weeks, then reach back out again and see if they're willing to engage at that time. But this is something, folks, that takes time to master. I have been networking for, well, I mean, all my career. I always went to industry events. I always went to job fairs. I always went to career fairs. I was always looking for my next, you know, thing. And that same principle applied when I started Culture Shift. And that is the one thing I regretted, was not networking enough in the beginning stages of my career, of Culture Shift, and building that out. But I'm doing that now. And I could even probably do it better. And take even some of the tips I've just shared and making it better. So I say that to say, start small, do a, you know, an event local to you, then go to bigger events with more people, bigger speakers. And those will come with bigger price points potentially, but the caliber of people or business opportunities you're looking for might also increase as well. But that's not always the case. So do your research, ask people their advice on going to these events as well, if they've been in the past, and just make the best of the moment. Because at the end of the day, you are there to connect, to be real, and to be human. And as, you know, opportunities present themselves, if they are meant for you, it will not be lost on you. It will find you. So take the time, my friends, to network. And that even goes socially as well. I mean, we're in a very virtual world today, but virtually, go to online events, meet people, socialize, online conferences. You can find so much stuff for free as well. Not everything has to have a price tag, but I say use those maybe low ticket or free events to practice, to get out there, and to be really intentional on the audience you're trying to meet and the people you are trying to engage with. Well, this has been an amazing episode. I definitely felt like I was in college professor mode with rule one, step one, but make this your own. Research more techniques, have your notepad, be ready, be prepared. There's always amazing opportunities and amazing people to just meet, invite into your world as part of a networking experience. Networking has been incredibly beneficial for my business. I've gotten clients, I've met lifelong friends, I've met incredible human beings that have changed the course of my life because of networking. So whether you want to use it for, again, more social or more business or a beautiful mix in between, network, network, network. With that, I hope y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great opportunity to reflect, to sit, to ponder, to brainstorm, and be all the things you want to be and more. Thank you again so much for listening, tuning in. Please like, comment, share, follow for more and for updates. And again, thank you so much for tuning into Confessions of a Founder. I am your beautiful host, Alicia M. Campbell, and I cannot wait to see you soon on the next episode.